You all are looking mighty good. Yes, mighty good. I can feel the spirit in the place. I can feel that something is afoot. Yeah. You're looking fabulous, marvelous. Turn to someone and say, I see you. I see you. See? See that radiance. See that glory. See that power, that presence, that joy. Yeah, see all that goodness, that deliciousness. Yes. See it all. To see is to be free. Wonderful. Well, beloved ones, I wanted to continue today with our series, and I'm not sure if it'll go tomorrow or next week, but right now I want to continue the series on the journey into and beyond yourself. The journey into, you know, the way in is what the way out. So we're talking about the journey into oneself and beyond oneself, because there is a greater expanse of our own individual sense of self. There's the divine milieu of everything, of life itself. And so, but meanwhile, before we get to the beyond, we need to look at what's taking place within ourselves. And I have been sharing with you some of the teachings and experiences that I had from my last visit a few weeks ago to the O&O Academy in India. And as I mentioned last week, I'm taking this 9-level course and has 9 levels. And the levels are, the first level is Truth Knower, teaching us how to become a knower of the truth. And then the second one, and that's Truth Knower 1, level 1 and 2. So there's 2 aspects to that. And the second segment was Life Knower. Knowing about life and how it is we maneuver through life. Life Knower levels 1 and 2. And then there's the third attainment, which is Self-Knower. Self-Knower 1 and 2. How do you know yourself? And then the fourth containment or attainment would be Cosmic Knower. Beyond self, but knowing our connection to the greater scheme of life and how it unfolds and how we are in the midst of that. And then the 5th level is philosopher teacher. Because after a while, if you know all this stuff, if you know about truth and you know about life and you know about yourself and you know about the cosmos, the next step is to be it and to teach it by your presence, right? Teach it by your life. Teach it and demonstrate it by your experiences. I was laughing. I was saying, you know, I come from India, and usually my state when I return, it may last for a couple of weeks where I'm in this altered state, you know, feeling really good about myself and also holy and so centered. And I really am in that state. And then along comes something that just knocks me out of my, you know, it's like, wow, I thought I was really, I had made it. You're only really as good as the next thing that you can demonstrate or overcome, right? So it's just my teaching and my growing edge that, oops, got a little more to do, you know? So, oops, here comes life. You know, it's easy when you're on the mountaintop. It's easy when you're in a cloistered setting amongst all the monks, and they're in high states of consciousness, and I think, yeah, I'm there too. But they don't come out of their situation into the world. So that's the test. How am I showing up in the midst of it? And how do I, you know, respond when I'm up against something that seems contrary to what I know to be the truth? And I know how I want to be. I love the quote. Sister Jenna, a good friend of mine, sent me a quote in a little box, and it says, the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. I was like, ooh. The difference between who you are That is right now. And who you want to be is what you do. Am I doing that which I want to be? Am I being that? See? And my doing will usually tell. So I want to be calm and sweet and, you know, pleasant and in all situations and in every circumstance. But sometimes so the opposite jumps up and shows me, oh, wow, I still have what? Work to do, stuff to do. So we are continuing with this self-knower. I just completed the self-knower level 2 course. And again, we were encouraged during this course to examine and see if we can see what is it that is actually stopping us from living in what we would call a higher state of consciousness. They call it a beautiful state. But what is it that stops us from living in a way in which we feel connected to life, that we are in harmony with life, that we're in the flow of life, that whatever life brings us, we have a way and an avenue to maneuver through it without getting thrown off course or without experiencing inner conflict and suffering and angst and anxiety, all that stuff? What is it that stops us from being in this beautiful, wonderful, higher state of consciousness? What gets in the way? And we were encouraged to look at our own selves, because chances are we are in the way. It is our perspective. It's how we are seeing things. It's how we are reacting instead of responding. It's all an internal job. And so we were to look at, wow, what are my assumptions and how do I assume and think life is supposed to be? Because if I get into my life supposed to be like this, when it's like that, I got a problem. See, because it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be like this, but it's showing up like this. So how can I handle that? How can I be in the midst of whatever shows up, but be centered and open to the divine so that I can you remember the phrase, to chop wood and carry water, so that I still do what I do regardless of the situations and the circumstances. I'm centered, I'm focused, I'm connected so that I can get my answers and get that guidance and feel that vibration that moves me where I need to be. Chop wood and carry water, do. That's what I want to be able to do. I want to make it do what it do. I want to do that thing. So. Looking at what is in my internal state, what is my sense, what are my beliefs or my assumptions or the things that I'm holding on to that are moving me into a situation or a direction that I don't want to be. We were encouraged to really become conscious of those unconscious areas that often get in our way and actually cause us some undue suffering. Right? Or limitations within our life experiences. And so they will get underneath that, look and see what is unconscious in you. And I thought this is a really good thing, but see, here's the challenge. It's hard to be conscious of what you're unconscious about. Right? And it is hard to know what you don't know. Isn't it? That's the problem. It's hard to be conscious about what you're unconscious about. How do you see your blind spots? How do you see what's getting in your way that everybody else can see except what? You. And that's the challenge. But here's the clue. One thing I love about life is it gives us clues. We are never without an opportunity to figure things out. So here's a clue. How you can know what those unconscious things, be conscious of your unconscious things, to know what you don't know. And here's the clue. If you find yourself suffering, and by suffering we mean experiencing some internal angst or confusion or disappointment or hurt, or you've got anxiety going, or there's some inharmony, or you're triggered, or something of that nature, that's what we call suffering. That's what they call suffering, I should say. Right? So it's some kind of internal. If you are experiencing suffering within yourself, or you feel that you're experiencing the same thing over again, or you have repeated patterns that keep showing up, chances are that something is afoot. Right? If something is afoot, that there's something going on within you that you may not be conscious of. And so life projects it out here so that we can then reflect it in here and say, wait. What is this trying to tell me about myself? Because most of the time we get distracted about the thing happening out there and we think that that's the issue. And we don't relate it or connect it to ourselves as being perhaps part of the problem or having part of that problem because we are unaware or we don't see it. Or sometimes I say we refuse to see it because sometimes it's like waving, right? And we're like, until what? That 2x4 is so big, it's right in our faces that we have no other choice but to acknowledge it. But if we can avoid it, we're going to be all over here. I'm going to be in your lane. I'm going to be over here trying to work this out. As opposed to being present, what is showing, what is present in my life? What is before me to see and to work with? And so we may pretend or we may actually be unaware of what it is. And awareness is key. Awareness is vital. So in order to become more aware, start paying attention to your experiences, to all of your experiences, but especially the challenging ones, because that's your teachable moment. That's the teachable moment. So you want to pay attention to the challenging ones because they are more or less trying to show you something about yourself. Leonard Jacobson said this. He said, everything that happens is designed to awaken us. Everything, he says. He said, everything that happens is designed to awaken us. Everything. Not some things, but everything presents an opportunity for us to awaken. Now, I believe that that is true. However, I also believe that you have to be aware enough to see that it is all a signal for you. Whatever is happening is perhaps a signal for you to go within and observe what's taking place within you. Taking place where? Within you. Not within the other person. Not within the situation. Because our tendency is to want to go to the outer first. Well, this is what's wrong with the situation. This is what happens here. This is what's taking place. And it could be a distraction. A distraction from what is taking place within us. As within, so without. Before you try to fix it out here, you need to see what's going on in here. It doesn't mean that this doesn't need to transform the outer may, but you can't do it from a blank slate. You can't do it by not being connected to what's going on within yourself. That's a spiritual law, as within, so without. So before we want to jump out there to solve it, jump in here and see what's going on. See what, because even though I may want to respond to it, but if I'm having a reaction, now that's not the problem. The problem is no longer out here. The problem is what? My reaction. I've taken myself completely off course. I'm not going to be able to really work with the problem, my handler, because now I got a problem within my own being. I'm reacting. So go within and see it as a signal. See what your inner state is. Your inner state is important because your inner state of being is going to influence your actions and your choices. And when we are not aware of what our inner state is, we will then just simply react as opposed to act. Your inner state influences your choices and your judgments and your ability to make what we call divine right choices for yourself or divine right decisions or to have access to divine guidance because you're all up in here as opposed to really understanding what's taking place. So, for example, if you're frustrated, and you are unaware that you are frustrated, then your choice and your actions are probably going to be to frustrate the situation further, right? Like if you're angry and you're not cognizant that you're really angry, your response will come from that vibration and the state of your anger, and it will more than likely trigger anger in the other. So now you both are angry, and again, the situation is not what's happening out here any longer. It's now that you're both angry. So now that becomes what? The problem. That becomes the thing, and the issue doesn't get resolved. Because now we get to you did and you said and remember when. And but, so it's all about that. And what happened to the issue we were trying to deal with and resolve? That's out the window. Taking care of your inner state is very important. Awareness is very key. Because through awareness, you then can make conscious choices. Once you're aware that, you know what, okay, I see my inner state as one of anger. I can then choose because I see it whether I want to go down that road or make a new choice or work with my own situation, my own emotions before I try to deal with you and try to deal with what's going on in you. Because if I do it from the state of anger, you know, like I always tell people, you want me to go away. You want me to go and solve because you don't want me to hit you from where I'm coming from immediately. You know what I'm saying? Even I don't want to come from there because then it's like, uh-oh, then I got to go pray about it. Now. See, Sylvia, you know, messed up. You know, you could have handled it different. You came from Brooklyn when you didn't need to. You could have come from some other kind of place. Right? I could have come from Jerusalem. But instead, you caught me because I won't. So when I'm aware that, you know what, I'm in a state. My state is angry. My state is upset. My state is annoyance. My state is whatever it is. Now, let me work with my state before I try to deal with you. Let me see if I can bring that into alignment. Let me see if I can heal that and get that right. Because if I can get that right, then what I offer you will be quite different. And then we might be able to have a connection and a relationship. Even though we can then work things out, doesn't mean that we won't disagree. But the disagreement will have a different kind of energy around it. You see, it'll have compassion and understanding and respect and honoring. As opposed to, I'm going to mess you up, right? That's what, yeah. So we have to see, I mean, that's we want to see how we can work with what is taking place. So your inner state and being aware of it is very important. You got to see whether you're in this suffering state, which is anger, disappointment, hurt, frustration, whatever. See if you're in that suffering state or if you are actually experiencing a beautiful state, because you can solve your problems from a beautiful state. You can solve your problems from higher consciousness. It is possible to do that. And a beautiful state is simply when you're functioning from that state of connection and harmony and peace. You're connected to the divine. You're connected to a higher, you're accessing this higher consciousness that we speak about. So that then when you access that, then the direction will be totally different. It might be, you know what? Bless it and release it. Right? Or it might be, let me forgive it. Or it might be, let me see further. Well, what is bothering you? What is it that you are upset about rather than me? Okay, your response might be totally different, which will cause the energy and vibration to soften. You soften. They soften. And the solution, the divine has a way then to bring forth the pearls of wisdom and the truth that will set everybody free and heal everybody. It's a powerful thing. So we have to see if we're coming from that beautiful state. If you're in a suffering state that is experiencing stress or anxiety or fear or anger or disconnection or hurt, whatever it is, then more than likely you have a problem. Well, actually, not a problem, but you have a spiritual red flag that is pointing to some inner work that you have to do within yourself. So first, we need to distinguish between having a real problem and a mere situation or a challenge. And the angst that comes, or the angst that we create, or the suffering that we create as a result of this perceived problem, right? And so here's the thing. I think this is very subtle. And this is what Krista G., the founder of the O&O, one of the founders of the O&O Academy, says. He says that a challenge is merely a situation for which you have yet to find a solution. It's quite simple. A challenge is merely a situation from which you have yet to find a solution. But a problem is quite different. I looked up problem according to Daniel Webster, my old friend. I love to go to the dictionary. And Daniel Webster says that a problem, one of the definitions, is that it is a source of perplexity, distress, or vexation. Now, that's key, because usually we think that if I have a problem, then it means that I'm going to have some level of what? Distress, vexation. There's an issue, you know, or something that is going to be perplexing to my spirit and soul, and now I'm off. I've got angst around this problem, and that's the problem with problems, is that we automatically think I must suffer, I must have some kind of distress, and, you know, now it's something I have to do. It's a problem. See, and I love this thing, because what happens with problems is we usually attach some emotional angst to the problem. We think we're supposed to have some emotional angst to them, and we see them as something that automatically causes us to suffer, when in actuality, it's merely a situation from which we have yet to find a solution. That's quite different than something that is vexing my spirit and soul. So what we need to do maybe is condition ourselves, you know what, not a problem. I love it. One of my wonderful assistants, and she'll probably get mad at me telling, but LaToya always says, whenever you give her something to do, she says, not a problem. And then she goes and does it. I said, well, can you do that? No problem, not a problem. And I thought, I like that. Whatever it is that I ask her to do, doesn't she say that? She goes, not a problem. If I'm correcting her about something, not a problem. Okay, I got it. Let's go. No kind of, you know, corrected me and, oh, you know, told me what to do. And it's so beautiful. Not a problem. And then she does whatever it is needed to do. If the situation needs to be corrected, she corrects it. And that energy creates such an ease and grace, because it's a different when I come to you and everything I bring you is a problem. Right? Now we got to work through, well, shucks, why do I have to do it? All that stuff. Then there's a big difference. Then it's like, I don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to deal with that. It's a problem. But if we're really true, there really aren't. Listen, what they're teaching is true. Most of us have very few problems. What we have are situations from which we have yet to find the solution. And if we can look at our lives from that perspective, it just changes the vibration in which you walk around in and how you approach life and how you approach challenges or situations, because life is going to present us with situations and challenges and stuff to be dealt with and unexpected changes and all kinds of things. And we could either approach it as if it's a big problem. We can say, you know what, this is just a situation. Let me see if I can get the solution. Because when you become solution oriented, what happens is your brain becomes conditioned to, well, let's find the solution. Right. Oh, if I'm solution oriented and not problem oriented, my brain and my mind is going to figure out, well, how can we access a solution for this? The subconscious mind and your superconscious mind will begin to conspire to figure out an answer to your challenge, not your problem, your situation. And it's like an habitual way of responding. And what happens is everything in the universe is going to conspire to help you, to support you, to give you that direction. And then spirit has a way then of downloading and dropping in the wisdom. All of a sudden, you'll get a creative idea. You'll get an answer, a movement. Let me do this. Let me go here. But when you're in that state of suffering, it's a problem, whatever, you are shutting off. It's constricted. Really. And now we struggle because we're trying to find the answer and the solution. We're trying to create it and make it happen. When if we are open and receptive and in a different state of mind, a beautiful state, answers come. Synchronicities happen. The universe conspires to bring you miracles upon miracles. This is how it works. This is how it works. So we have to look at, where are we in the process? Where are you? How do you approach your life? What is your habitual state from which you approach your life situations? Is everything a problem? Or is it simply a situation for which you have yet to find the solution? That attitude and that consciousness is going to free you up tremendously, because we are here to be open and receptive to spirit. And when we are in that state of consciousness, then spirit begins to move. When you're in a beautiful state, when you're in a higher state, life begins to change. Can you handle your situation without the story? Because you see, usually every problem also has a story, right? We got to amplify the story. See, what had happened was, and we are on to the story about the situation. We're on to why it's not working and why it's not, you know, not doesn't mean that you won't have times when you have to sit down and figure out, you know, what's working, but you're doing it from a totally different state of consciousness, without angst, without the background story, without the problems, and you become free. You start to be connected. And this whole thing is about connection to others, connection to God, connection to life, connection to the source. And when you're connected, stuff flows. When you are disconnected, stuff retracts. So we want to figure out, how can you be connected to this thing called life, your life, and free yourself up so that you are able to respond and not react, that you're able to allow the solutions to arise. Right action arises. Right action comes to you. You don't have to create it. This is the power of being in the flow of a beautiful state, of a beautiful consciousness, living and doing from that point in that place. Evolution is the solution. Growth, being present, being aware, you know, looking at self, recognizing that you may be the problem. You know, sometimes it's about you, boo. Sometimes we don't recognize that we are the problem. My worry is the problem. My obsessing is the problem. My anger is the problem. My frustration is the problem. My lack of understanding is the problem. My need to be right is the problem. I'm it. So let me go in and see what is standing in my own way. Not you, me. And once I can uncover my own sense of internal being and what's taking place, then I can come to you from this highest vibration, of which you will respond, because the highest vibration always supersedes a lower state of consciousness. That's spiritual law, right? We know that. But if you're down there in the weeds, tangling and struggling, it's not going to work. So what is it that you can see within yourself? This journey is about you. You must go into yourself to see what is taking place. And are you living your life from a connected state of consciousness or a disconnected state? And if it's disconnected, you will suffer. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is an option. It's an option. And what we define as hell in unity is useless, unnecessary suffering. Most of what's taking place, we can simply let it go. Let it go. Your evolution is the solution. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings, blessings, blessings.